Today's a special day. You know what today is on the calendar? So Yud Shvat is the outside of the Shvi'i Glavavitch Rebbe's Schus Yehlina. So much of the Schus and the Yecharlis for us to be sitting here in America in Tavshin Ayin Gimel and learn Tanya, learn Chassidus, is due to the tzidkus of that great man of the Shvi'i Glavavitch Rebbe. When he came here to America, he said America is nitzdanderish. America is not different. Everybody was misyayish. In America, it's not possible to learn chassidus. It's not possible to raise over the Hashem. And the Friedrich Rebbe, as was his whole life, was not in his spoil at all. And he said that America is no different. Baruch Shalom lives in America also. And we're going to learn everything we did and whatever we were there, we're going to continue to do over here. And today is his yahrzeit and his Heilige Neshama Shehaven Aliyah. We're on page Lamed Zayin. The Rebbe's explaining that there are two general madregas of Ahava. The objective is to transform the Yetzer Hara into Tov, to bring the Nefesh of Bahamas around to serve the purposes of Elokus, and to be on the team of Elokus. That's what we're learning. And there are two madregas of Ahava. There's Ahava Kirish Be'esh, and there's Ahava Betanugim Kamayim. And we learned that Ahava Kirish Be'esh is a very powerful love, as we hear in the words, like fiery coals that comes as a result of the tzimon, the feeling of distance from Elokus, and the longing to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the son who was away from his father, and being in that state of richuk is filled with a tremendous, tremendous tshuka, a longing to return. That's ahava azo kirish be'esh. That ahava, as magnificent as it is, and halavai we should be zeche to have even a time of that, that ahava itself is not the highest madrega of ahava. The higher madrega of ahava, and the one that has within it, which we're going to talk about today, the ability to transform any of the ra into toiv, to win over mamish, all of the ra, and to bring everything into toiv, is ahava betanugin, which is kamayim. Which means that we're no longer dealing with the eight simon, because the two who love each other are no longer apart. They're together. As everybody knows, it's much more difficult to sustain and to strengthen the Ahava, to feel the Tanug of the Ahava growing and growing when the two are together, when they're not apart. The Ahava b'Tanugim, the unbelievable Tanug, the great pleasure and delight of Lis'anig al Hashem, that even in this world it's possible for a person, we're going to talk about very, very great people, can experience this. While being together, the deepest, deepest love of the Nefesh HaElokis is Mizgala, the deepest love of the child for his father, and the father for the child is Davke Mizgala, when they're together. That's very hard. It's a very, very hard madrega. This madrega of oinig, of pleasure. Remember, oinig touches the nekudas hanefesh. Oinig. So in the top of page Lamed Zayin, Mavar Rabbeinu Satam Lekach Shadavka Ahavazu. And the Alter Rebbe is now going to explain the reason that why is it that Davka this Ahava, the Koich Lahafech is Koich HaTayva Shalanefesh Bahamish Lahavas Hashem, that Davka this level of Ahava, This type of ahava tanugim, why it davke has the korach, the ability to take the korach hataiva of the nefesh Bahamas and to bring it into ahavas Hashem. So in the words the Alter Rebbe's words, "V'ha'ayniku b'maya chachma v'seichel v'mesanik v'haskolas Hashem v'yidiyosa, kfi hasagas sichlai v'chachmasai." Where does the oinig come from? Where does this pleasure, this oinig, this delight come from? From the mind, hachochma v'seichel misanig v'askolas Hashem v'yidiyosa. It comes from the mind. One wouldn't naturally think that that's the answer to that question, but it comes from the mind, which is misanig v'askolas Hashem v'yidiyosa, thinking about Hashem, understanding more about Hashem. Each person, kifi hasagas sechel v'chachmas, according to his mind's ability to comprehend, to understand. So he explains nechsis v'varis. Tanug hanishamis, the joy, the pleasure, the delight of the neshamis miziv hashchina b'olam haba, from basking in the radiance of the shchina in olam haba. Hutanug hasoga. So what exactly are they enjoying over there? What is the tanug? The Chazal tells that the highest thing is that in Olam Haba the neshamas are yoishvim v'atrasem v'rashem v'nehenim miziv hashchina. They're enjoying, nehenim, they have a tanug, miziv hashchina, from the shining radiance of the shchina. So, what is that hana? What's the hana of the ziv hashchina? What is that pleasure of the neshama in Gan Eden? The teretz is, the Rebbe is telling us here, that oinig tanug means tanug ha-hasoga, means the tanug of comprehension, of understanding, of being able to grasp. K'mavu ala'el, u'mizem muvan, sh'kam inyin ahava b'tanugim, therefore we can understand that since the tanug of the neshamis in Olam Haba, the meaning of tanug is tanug ha-hasoga, that's in Olam Haba. So mimela, in this world, ahava b'tanugim is l'sanig al Hashem me'ein Olam Haba, l'sanig al Hashem me'ein Olam Haba, hu ha-tanug me'hasoga selokus. That means the tanug of hasogas elokus, of understanding, of grasping, more and more elokus. Umakoyma shal tanug zeh, and the place of this tanug, hu b'moyach chochma v'seichel, in the brain. B'moyach chochma v'seichel, she'amoyach hu ha-mis'anig ba'askolas Hashem v'yidiyosa, because the mind is what delights in this haskola of Hashem, and knowing Hashem. Kfi hasoga sichlai v'chachmaso, liyasabir, to explain more. Ahava betanugim levas mihadveikus be'ohuv. Ahava betanugim comes from the dveikus be'ohuv, from the attachment to the beloved, to the ohuv. Shemis andig mihadveikus. Ve'inyin hadveikus belokus. And what's the inyan of dveikus be'elokus, of attachment, of cleaving to elokus? Hu gilui or eloki b'nefesh ha'adam. It's when the light of elokus is misgala to the person. It's when the light of elokus is misgala in the person's soul. Gilui or eloki b'nefesh ha'adam. V'arei gilui zehu b'seichel ha'adam. The gilui of this or, the ikr, is in the seichel of a person. It's b'seichel ha'adam. Shabohu maskil u'masig es Hashem. With which, the seichel with which he's maskil u'masig, to grasp each person, kafi seichel ha'achmasai, Hashem. Uvay nitpas ha'or eloki. And in the mind, there could be a tfisa of this or of elokus, of this light of elokus. The kasha odam masig v'toyfis or eloki b'maychai When the person understands and grasps this aura of Elokus in his mind, he feels within his nefesh an oinig of Elokus. In other words, it comes from the mind's understanding of Elokus. The feeling of a talik, of course, is in the nefesh. That's an emotional event. But the makar, the source of that dveikus, that facilitates, that is able to generate such an emotion of ta'anug, a feeling of ta'anug, that comes from the mind. That comes from the haskola and elokus, and gilu or elokus, to understand more and more about the Rebbeinu Shel, about elokus. So there's a basic difference between Ahavas Hashem Kirish Pe'esh, love of Hashem like fiery coals, Lahava B'Tanugim, Gambamokim Gili Ahava, even in the location of where this Ahava is Mizgala. Der Klal Mekomish Lahava B'Lev. Normally, when we speak of Ahava, of love, we talk about the heart. Hamokim Shel Gili Rig Shehanefesh, which is the place where the Rigshe HaNefesh, the emotions of the soul are revealed. Mashenken Ahava B'Sanugim, She'en Yonah Regesh Shel Ahava, Ha'mu'urav Im Regesh Ha'oinig, Hine Me'achash Ezeu Tanug Ha'asoga, Ha'imakayma Hu, Leirak B'Lev. Of course, it spills over into the heart. Machmes Regesh Ahava, Ela Gam B'Moach. Really, the makar is in the moach, in the mind, that is thinking about Elokus, the mind in which there's a gilui, a tfisa, an understanding, the aura of Elokus, machus tanuk sheba. Look at footnote 50. Gilui or Hashem, who be'ikah b'seichel ha'adam. The gilui or Hashem is be'ikah b'seichel ha'adam. Primarily b'seichel ha'adam, in the mind, b'seichel ha'adam. On Yushvat, Tavshin Yud Aleph, with Fabrengen, you know that for a year, the Lubavitch Rebbe Suchsleino, after the Friedrich Rebbe died, Yushvat, there was tremendous, tremendous lachatz from the Chassidim that the Lubavitch Rebbe should become Rebbe, that she take over for his father-in-law. And for that entire year, the Rebbe refused to accept the position. He was teaching Chassidus and he was involved with Chassidim, but he didn't accept. It was a whole interesting story of what happened. I mean, the old Chassidim that they rumors spread, you know, the Jews like to do that. And rumors spread that the Rebbe accepted to become the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the Rebbe was in the newspapers in New York, the Rebbe was talking about it. And the Rebbe had a hakpada when he heard that that's what they were saying, and it's in the newspaper. He never was makabalit. So the Zikne Chassidim came to him, and whatever happened, it's not for now, but the Rebbe agreed to become, and to become Rebbe, famous, the Maimer of Bosi Lagani, and everything that happened, and that whole Yud Shvat of the Yard site, And by the Fabrengen, the Rebbe said, and he said many things, but one thing he said was that he said, I don't want you to think that this is going to be easy. And he said that the main difference between Polish Chassidus and Chabad Chassidus is that the Indian of Polish Chassidus is more Sadik Bemanoso Yichaya. Even though it says in Pasuk Yichya, But the Indian of Parlish Achsidis is Tzadik Be'Menasi Yechai, is to depend completely on the Tzadik. And the Tzadik is Mechaya the Chsidim. Tzadik Be'Menasi Yechai. And he said that in Chabad, we read the Pasuk the way that it's written, Tzadik Be'Menasi Yechai. If you want to be a Tzadik, you have to live. You have to live in that Amunah, not to depend on the Tzadik. He said, I'm not saying Chas Shalom that I'm not going to help. That's what he said. I'm not saying Chas Shalom that I'm not going to help. Because I'm going to try to help. But you shouldn't think that to be a chassid means that to give a pinyan and nefesh, you know, a kvittel or two, to sing, he said, some negunim. That's what it means to be a chassid. The ik is that a person has to work on it. And that's the whole mahalach of the Valatanya. Ahava is a feeling. And the way that we were raised here is that, you know, it comes and it goes. You know, if you have a mazel or siyata d'shmaya, it hits you. And you enjoy it while you can. But what the Rebbe's teaching us here, and it's the whole yisod of the Sefer, is that the tachlis of the Dveikus Bashem, Ahava B'Sanugim, that the tachlis of that is, of course, to feel the emotion of Ahava. But the makar of that is the moich, is the mind. And that means that it's an avayda. The tzaddik can help. Because the tzaddik is teaching and being ma'orer us to think more and more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the tzaddik is not going to do that for you. You have to do that yourself. You have to think. Because ultimately, whether one is able to experience Ahava in any kind of a real way and for any duration of time, that depends on the person's tfisa and elokus. Thinking about Elokus. Each person according to his madrig. Nobody is excluded. No Jew is excluded. Doesn't depend on any particular IQ. But to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one's mind. As far as the heart is concerned, no, it spills over. And the person feels. But it doesn't come automatically. V'hu b'chinas ha'mayim. The bottom of page Lama Zayin. Oh, we were learning the note. Yeah. Sorry, footnote 50. Yili or Hashem who be'ikur b'seichel adam shekein in yonash la'seichel v'ayicholos la'hasig es ha'mohus. The inyan of the seichel, footnote 50, the inyan of the seichel is the ability to grasp the essence of something. There's ha'emes shel dover to grasp the truth of something, to think about and to grasp the truth. Shechutz mimenu. Vayfen shehainyin choyder al toich moyach adam, to the point that the inyan, this truth, penetrates into the person's mind. V'nitbas v'niklat boyne, becomes and is grasped and absorbed by the mind. Mashen kein in hamidus. That's not the same as midus. By midas, the siyachasus ha'odem aladava. The inyan of midas is the relationship that the person has to something, imlis kariv, either to draw closer to, or lehisrachik menu, or to distance oneself. Hainu loy ha'emes shel adava atzmai. By the midas, the ikur is not the emes of the thing itself. Elokeitz said, "Ani misyaches elav umispal mimenu." By midas, the issue was always, "How do I relate to this? How does it affect me?" Keitz said, "Ani misyaches elav umispal mimenu." It's not the inyan of the midah is not tfisa and klita. Absorbing, understanding, and grasping. The ikur of a midah is always, what do I do about this? Do I get closer? Or do I run to it or do I run away from it? How do I feel about it as opposed to what is it? How do I feel about it? How does this make me feel? How do I feel about it? That's the meaning of midas. Do I feel that this is something that is exciting and that I want to get closer to? Do I feel this is something that is scary and I want to run away from? How do I feel about this? Not what it is, but how it makes me feel. Most of the world is lost in that ending, you understand. When it's l'tayv, of course, it's a tremendous avayda of thinking and being mashpia on one's emotions to get closer, to get further, not just to react to something. Just when I say that most of the world means people just have an, you know, they just react. They don't think, they just react. This makes me feel good, this makes me feel bad. If you teach, you know, I know that all the years in Yiddish, so somebody will say to me this. Somebody called me up after Shia a few weeks ago and said that there was a Moshe Shabbos Shia, and someone called up, a very fine person, and he said that the Shia made him very depressed. So I said, that wasn't my intention to depress anybody. Depression to me is the most disgusting, horrible thing in the world. It wasn't my intention. And I suggested you think about more. You think about more what this was like right after this. I said, I suggest you think about it more. What can I tell you? The Indian is not depressing. You got depressed from it? I don't know. There are people that you say to them, how you doing? They get depressed. We've met people like that. You say, how you doing? What are you asking me? How am I doing? You know how I'm doing. Like, you know, there are people that are just like that. They react in their emotions and they start and all that stuff. So I said to him, I just suggest that you think about it more. What can I tell you? I'm not retracting anything that we were learning something inside. It was when we were doing it from the Ari HaKadosh. I said, it's a matter of just thinking about it. And if you think about it, I don't think you're going to get it. It shouldn't depress you. I mean, I don't know how each person in different states of health and so on, but each people read things through their own emotions when they hear a she or something. They say that this, like this, and they react, and means that even when people are learning, even people, myself, all of us, when we learn, we oftentimes don't absorb. We're not kailite the muskal of what we're learning, which the whole meaning of Torah is to be mechaya Jew and to be sameach Jew. We're not clear like that. We just take all of our inhibitions and all of our prejudices and all of our mishagasim and all the things that whatever our parents or brothers and sisters and teachers did to us and whatever we did to ourselves, and then boom. So think. It's so hard. Midas react to something. It's a how do I react? How do I relate? The seichel is asking a different question. Seichel is asking, "Was is das? What is this?" It's a different thing. Now it sounds very cold. It doesn't sound like a nice, cozy, warm, fuzzy thing. Yeah, but the problem is that because people are looking for so much coziness and warmth and fuzziness, that they fall in love with all the wrong things and they run away from all the good things. The seichel, the mayach, there is a coldness. But the biggest tonic, the biggest delight and pleasure comes from the hasaga of the mahus of the beloved, an understanding. The mahus of the beloved. Lamashal, you could have parents and children. You could have a parent and a child. The parent doesn't bechlal understand the kid. Bechlal doesn't understand the kid. Now, I want everybody here to listen to their parents here and grandparents. If you have only little babies, it doesn't. That's not. But I'm saying if you have already older children, a parent, you could have a parent that bechlal doesn't understand the kid. But as it's feel ahava, the ahava is muridik, the ahava. The love that the parent loves the child. The ahava is muridik. And it could be that every decision that this parent makes for the kid is wrong. And not only that, but if you ask the kid about the parent, the kid says, yeah, my mom, my dad, they're wonderful people, I love them, they just don't get me at all. I'm not talking about some snotty teenager, you understand this. Narishkeit. They say that all the time because they just want to get stuff. But I'm talking about Danis. So where does the ahava come from for this mother, this father, that they have such a murdic ahava for the kid? And it seems that they don't chap the kid at all. I mean, is it possible, let's put it this way, is it possible to read a novel and to love the novel and not to get it? Sure it's possible. No? Is it possible to see a movie and to say this is the best movie I ever saw and you didn't get it? Sure it's possible. Sure it's possible. The emes is that in that situation, it's a little bit of an edel in the kuda, but the emes is in that situation, what you love is not so much the movie, what you love is yourself. And the movie was more of a certain feelings inside of you. You didn't necessarily understand what the mechaber had in mind. And you didn't necessarily have really a shaychus, a little shaychus to the mahus of what the movie was, or the book, or the song, or the poem, whatever it is. What you care about most, and this is what the Indian of Midas is concerned with, is me. Is how it makes me feel, how I relate to this. So there's something about that movie that inspired you. There's something about the poem that made you feel a certain way. So someone says, how do you like that poem? What do you like about it? And then he asked, but he didn't chap at all. That's what you liked about the poem. So b'chlan have the inyanus of the poem. Now that gets more complicated when that's between people. So as I said, you could have a parent that loves the child, but the love for the child is, to a large extent, is about how the child makes you feel. Not who the child really is. If you would understand the child, then the love would be much, much deeper. Much deeper. It would have much more substance to it. To love the kid, not to have a musig of the kid. Because you don't even understand the kid. That's why you'll have a home, and you have parents that think that every single kid has to be treated this and dealt with and spoken to the same way. Even though each kid is a different mahus. Each kid is a totally different mahus. But you give the same exact speech to each kid, and every kid is the same, because it's the inyan is not about the mahus of the kid, it is about how do you feel about the kid. In terms of how you feel, it's about you. So you're the same person. It might be you have 10 kids, but it's the same person. You could have 12 kids, but you're the same person. So therefore, you're misyaches to each of the children according to who you are. So you have the same speech for each of the kids, because it's all about you, it's not about the kids. So why should there be different speeches? It doesn't make a difference. It's Bela, Sprinza, it could be Moshe and Yankel. It doesn't make a difference, because it's you. And how are you misyaches? So one kid makes you laugh, the other one makes you cry. This kid gives you aggravation, this kid gives you nachas and nachas. But your policy and your way is the same with all of them, across the board. Because the inyan is how I feel about the child, not who the child is. Hasogas hamahus, and the tanug that comes, the pleasure, and the richness of the love that comes with Hasogas HaMahus is altogether different parasha. Altogether different parasha. You know how many times you have kids with mothers and fathers, but it's more women and generally more emotional. So you'll have with a mother, like if you say the name of her daughter, of her son, she starts to cry with emotions. And then when you talk to the kid's not in this ball at all. The kid's not in this ball at all. And you're wondering, how could there be such a thing? Your mother loves you so much. Your mother cries at the mention of your name. And how is it that you seem to be so cold? 99 out of 100 times, the response to that will be something along the lines of, oh, my mother's a wonderful person. And my mother loves me. Kirish Pe'esh. My mother loves me. but she doesn't get me. It's not me that she loves. She loves the way that I make her feel, but she doesn't understand me. And I feel outside of her. I don't feel inside that person. And that's with husbands and wives as well. It's more complicated because of the physical union. But the ahava, when it comes to me, so why is mommy crying all the time about that? Because mommy loves the child and loves how the child makes her feel. Because everybody wants to feel that emotion of love and caring. But the child is outside of feels outside of that tchum, because she doesn't feel that her mother really understands her and connects to her on a deeper level. There's tremendous separation that comes as a result of this. Because that's how me this, and it's very confusing. Because if you'd ask the mother, if you go to this woman, you'd say, and a kid says that you don't understand it at all. So the mother would say, there's nobody on earth who understands. How could she say that? I'm so hurt, I'm so insulted. And she'll say that to the kid, I'm hurt and insulted, until the kid will be mighty that you do understand me. And I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And you have a cassette like this going 50 years, 60 years. And the mother thinks that we're the closest in the world, and if you ask the kid says, I don't know how much of a shock is. I've had this conversation all the time. I have the parents saying, like, we're so close. And we ask the kid says, I don't really have a shaykhus. I mean, I love my parents, but I don't really have a shaykhus. Kesher, dveikus is muhus. It's understanding. It's thinking about and understanding. That's very, very, that's a big avoider. Most people don't want to do that. They just want to live in the world of feelings, of emotions, of midas, and not in the place of muskalos. To try to understand, I mean, if you think about it, to try to understand the child, the muhus of the child, when you have a parent or a rebbe who does that, it's such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing. And I think an interesting thing about those parents don't get easily insulted when the kid acts up. You know, you have some that they get very insulted if the kid acts up. Like the kid says, Mommy, I hate you. Then the mommy, oh. These people who understand the kids, they're not dispelled from that. Because they're not snoring for the ahava either. They're trying to understand. It's not about me. It's about my child. And to understand the child. And they're not dispelled from these things. Loves me, yes. Loves me, no. They're not dispelled from it. It's a much deeper thing. It's a big sugya, and I'm only touching upon it, but one doesn't usually associate the makor of ahava with the seichel. That's the Rebbe saying. Thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thinking about your child. Thinking about your friend. To be misboinein, a husband or wife. Thinking about, for that child to think about what the mother has done for her, what the father has done for her. Think about it. You must boinein in it. How easy it is for a kid to say that my parents did it. To be mevatel the parents. Think about it. Think about since you're in the world, the mesivas nefesh of your mother, of your father. Think about it. Think about what that is. There could be so much ma'ahav in the world. Now, people who are talking. They want everybody to have, but they don't want to work at it. They just want it to happen. They don't want to work on it, to think about it. But that's what it depends on. That's what he says. Elokeitz ani misyaches elavu mispol mimenu v'lachein klitas utfisas gili haor v'ha'emes eloki b'seich hanefesh titochin rak b'seichel shnefesh elokis. Seichel of nefesh l'kis, to think about the truth of the Baruch Shalom. Of course, we can't understand the mohus of Hashem, but what's been revealed to us through the Torah. And the emes, to think about that. And the gili ha'or v'ha'emes eloki b'soich ha'nefesh, that's what brings ahava. you have the parent and the kid is so different. The kid is like a different kid. The differences of the child, even though they might look like they're vast, like they're huge differences. Like the father wears a hat, the kid only wants to wear a yarmulke, a mashal. I'm saying that cynically, because people think that I can't believe my kid is so different from me. It's like, but the differences between a parent and a kid are not necessarily ba'aymik on a deeper level. Mostly there's a very, very, very strong resemblance and connection. You might not see that on the surface. But in the aymik, if you think about it, and try to understand the mahus of the child, you'll see that even though you might dress differently, even though you might act differently in terms of midas in different ways and so on, but the mahus is the same from the same fabric. Parents oftentimes don't want to acknowledge that, or they don't want to think about that, but that also could be a hechatimsa for people to be closer with each other, to think about the mahus and not to get caught up in the outside things. V'nimtza she'advekis bo eloki ka'ov uben ha'nimtzoyim b'tzav sechada hib'ikah b'mayach. Therefore, dveikus, the tanug and dveikus attachment, like when the father and the son, when they're together, not when they're longing and missing each other, but when they're together, is with thinking. B'ikus b'mayach. Back in Sada Tanya, v'hu b'chinus hamayim. This is not kirish pe'esh. This is not like fiery coals. B'chinus hamayim. So he explains in Chassidus Meravos, al pi anal, sheha'oinig sheba'ahava b'tanugim hu b'moyach chochma v'seichel, that the oinig, the pleasure, the delight, is b'moyach chochma v'seichel, in the mind, Pesh Lamed Ches. Muvan shemadregas ahava b'tanugim hi b'chinus hamayim. That it's compared to water, not fiery coals, but to water. B'chinus hamayim, shel ha'nefesh elokis. The yisod of water in the nefesh elokis is, of course, the mind. That's why there's a coldness to it. Just like mayim, there's a coldness to it. V'hi b'chinis chochma, shenikra mayim shebenefesh elokis. Chochma is mayim in nefesh elokis. V'lachein ahava betanugim shel nefesh elokis. Therefore, the ahava betanugim of the nefesh elokis, she hatanug b'haskolas Hashem v'yidiyaso, understanding Hashem, knowing Hashem, shebemorach in the mind, he mi yisayid hamayim. That's from the yisayid hamayim, because the main tchuna of mayim, of water, is its coldness. Its coldness. And as he explains in the note, that when the father and his son are together, it's not with a rash, it's not with a whole tumult, it's not with a whole commotion, it's just kamayim. It's not that, like, when they're apart and they haven't seen each other, then it's ka'eshes kamayim. There are many parents who have a much stronger relationship with their kids when the kids in Eretz Yisrael. When I say Eretz Yisrael, means that they're in New York, the parents. And the kids in New York, and the kids in Eretz Yisrael, then, but when they're together, it's just, there's nothing much doing. Ahava kemayim. Is when the father and the son are together. And it's without, therefore it's not with his pilus like a fire. It's not with his structures and a rash, a tumult, a commotion, the whole thing. It's a devekis with understanding and closeness, be'emes, with an understanding of the mahus, and an unbelievable tanug, a deep, deep pleasure of being able to be next to the person who you understand and who understands you, and you have this devekis between you. Of being together. Doesn't have to be with a rash and with a tumult. That whole Indian of ish peish is when people are apart. But when people are together, that's why it's very, very sad. I've spoken of this many times. When you have people who are married, and they're married for 20, 30, 40 years, and they still, everything has to be a raj, has to be a tumult, a commotion. Whatever, however they define that tumult commotion, in order to have a good time, they have to go to a show. They have to go somewhere. They can't just be with each other, sitting in a room quietly. It has to be something. It's a raj. It has to be a raj. Because they're looking for ahava kirish pe'esh. I spoke about this last week a little bit. And they're unhappy with ahava kirish, because there's no real deep understanding or connection between the two. So we got to do something. There's a little noise over here. There's no noise. A rash, something. There's no rash. So then, if there's no rash, there's no ahava. That's the way people think in America. If there's no rash, there's no ahava. If there's no rash, we're not gushing with emotions. We're not crying over each other. We're not reading poems to each other. We're not passionate with each other. V'chulu v'chulu. So it's kind of ahava. It's not an ahava. And we have to go do something, we have to be somewhere, we have to do that. All of that is the result of ahava that hasn't matured and hasn't developed into ahava b'tanugim, which is the tanug of being in a state of dveikus with a person. Of being connected on a deep level to a person, that two people don't have to say anything to each other in that matzah. They don't have to say, they don't have to do anything. It's the mitzias of being in that mitzias of ahoyla basar echad. That two have become one. That's the mitzias of ahoyla basar echad. That's the mitzias of a dovak b'ishta. The Torah uses such a lashon. It's the first place we see such a lashon. Dveikus. You don't have to go any place. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say even to say anything. Those relationships where everybody's, where each one is fishing for some words, fishing to say a good word, say a good word. It's very nice. People should always say good words to each other. But there's also, it's not in a place of ahoy l'basarach. Doesn't have to be when it's ahoy l'basarach, it doesn't have to be misgala. The same way the person doesn't have to say to himself, to make himself feel good, I love me. If the person's walking on like that, I love me. There are people in that are like that. But they have to be more over there. They're such crushed people that they have to be more over somehow. So they talk like big things about themselves. I have to say, I love me. It's an Irish guy. It's not an Irish guy, but it's sad. It's pathetic. So you have people that every single second they have to hear a good word, which is understandable that if there's no real deep dveikus, so then I need something in order to survive. A kind word, a nice word. But when there's Etzemiatzamai, when there's v'hoyu l'basar echad, when it's a mitzias of v'hoyu l'basar echad, so then, it's always nice to see, but it's not totally on that. Same thing when you have, again, with parents and children, all these, to teach us about our relationships. You have some parents that every single second with the kid, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, and they have to always give hugs and kisses and loving. And it's also an interesting thing. I found many, many times in my discussions with these kids when they grow up that they didn't like that. And if you ask the parent thinks that my kid, we have the deepest relationship. Because I kissed my kid 25 times today. And I hugged my kid, and I did this, and I can't keep my hands off of my kid, and I'm constantly connecting to my kid in that way. And if you ask the kids, I've had this conversation many times. The kid says, honestly, it gives me the creeps. I had this conversation 2 weeks ago with somebody. Before we went away, I was talking to somebody. He says, I don't. But if you ask the parents think we have the deepest relationship in the world. The kid says, gives me the creeps. I'm uncomfortable about it. So he told me. I'm uncomfortable. What happened over here? It's a strange thing. The parent thinks that every single time that he's hugging the kid, there's more ahava. The kid feels every time he hugs me, it's less ahava. He wants to recoil. How did such a thing happen? Again, it's for zich. For what you consider to be ahava, if the child doesn't feel that he's in a place of emes or dveikus, so then what the parent, or in a marriage, what the partner associates with dveikus or with ahava and with all of that, doesn't necessarily mean that bechlal, the other one feels that. And where does that come from? Means, again, not understanding. How could that continue for so many years? And how is it possible that the parent doesn't understand that the child is uncomfortable with that? You like that. Maybe that's your way of showing love, and that's very sweet. And in many relationships, that's nice. Okay, that works. But your kid doesn't go for it. Don't you understand that? The Torah says it doesn't make a difference. This is how I love. Regardless of how my child experiences this, this is how I love. I don't know another way to show love. And the kid will say, that's not how I experience it. I prefer a different way. You have many, many such situations that are going on with good people, nice people, who do care for each other, who love each other. Dveikus. Oftentimes, the child or one of the spouse, the one, is in a deeper place than the other. Not because of coldness. So then the touchy feely one will say, "Oh, you're cold." And the one that's not so touchy feely will say, "No, that's not true. I'm not a cold person. I'm not a cold person, and I resent being told that I'm cold." Oh, because I don't want to do this whole hug and kissing thing. That doesn't make me too cold person. Wait, what? These are conversations that are going on all over the place. Misunderstandings and a lot of hurt feelings that come from not thinking about it. The mohus. And the connection not being in a place of dveikus, of basar echad, but satisfying oneself in one's own way of how to experience what they think is ahava, what they feel as ahava, despite the fact that it could be even alienating the other one. And then to have a taina that you're cold. He says, I'm not a cold person. I don't know why you're saying that. I'm a cold person. I'm 32 years old. I don't want my father pinching me on the cheek anymore. You know, I didn't care for too much when I was 10. I'll tell you the truth, I don't like it when I'm 32. Oh, Papa, come here a little bit. I didn't like that when I was a kid either. these are ma'aseh m'chol yom. Except the kids, a lot of times the kids don't talk about it. They just go on with it, and the parent feels, how come the kid is so cold? When he was little, he wasn't like that. Oh, he was so wonderful when he was little. Remember we used to hold him. Remember, it was so nice. It's all dimyanis. There's some dimyanis that are about you, not about the child. Husband and wife, you have this same. Obviously, it's much more complicated with husband and wife because of the inyan that has to be between them, in the right way, in kedushin tahar. So it's the source of tremendous akmus nefesh. That which the Baruch Shalom gave it should be the hoy labas echa. Chinus kamayim, the inyan of kamayim, ahava betanugus kamayim. So the yisoid of the nefeshal kiss has a coldness to it. Mayim has a coldness to it. Chen ahava betanugim shal nefeshal kiss yatanig baskolas Hashem v'yidosa shibamoyach. So these two madregas, v'nimsa sheshtei madregas halolo b'ahavas Hashem ahavas Hashem keish v'ahava betanugim boos mishnei yisoid Hashem shal nefeshal kiss. They're both holy. They're both fantastic. But Ahava Keish and Ahava Betanugim Kemayim come from two different yisoides of the Nefesh Lakis. Hatzimon Shel Nefesh Lakis, the thirst of the Nefesh Lakis, Fire, which of course makes the dryness and thirst. There's a thirst, there's a longing. There's a tzimaon felukus. That's a havak rish beish. That's when you're apart. And there's a rash, there's a commotion, there's a tumult, there's a longing, which is beautiful. That's misad ha'esha b'leif. Ve'ilu ahava b'tanugim is misad ha'mayim. But if ahava b'tanugim, which is a higher madrega of ahava. So it's much, much, much harder. So higher madrega of ahava. It's an ahava of tfisas ha'mahus, of hasogis, of it's an ahava of devekas. It's an ahava that is not as demonstrative as ahava ke'esh, but it's deeper. Everything the Rebbe is saying here is against the psychology of Western civilization. Isn't it great? Everything. There's a terrific article, by the way, in this past Shabbos, in the Amit magazine, from Simon Jacobson, Vista Lubavitch, a very chashuv teacher, because it was Alter Rebbe's 200th yahrzeit. So there's a beautiful article on the Alter Rebbe and the psychology, comparing the psychology of America and the psychology of Chassidus. If you can get the list on me, it's very, very, very kedai. You'll enjoy it. Oh, I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. Linda, to me, online still means standing online. So I know what it means, but that when I hear it, I still think it means getting online somewhere. So this ahava, this madrega of ahava, is what brings a transformation. This is what brings a transformation. This is what has the ability, the strength, to bring over the nefesh of Bahamas into Elokus. Because remember, the nekuda pnimis of the nefesh of Bahamas is tanug, pleasure. Remember, we were talking about that a lot a few weeks ago. That's what the nefesh of Bahamas is in it for, tanug. If you could show the nefesh of Bahamas tanug in Elokus, he's in. The nefesh of Bahamas just wants tanug. And if you show him, God forbid, something that's not Elokus, and if it looks good to him, he'll take it. It can go this way or that way, right? We're talking about an Eid, if the Klipas Noga, it can go good a bit. But if you show him that Elokus is a Tanug, then you're going to have the biggest Jew in the world. The Nefesh Bahamas is looking for Tanug. The Ahava Krish Peish doesn't do it. An occasional Shabbaton, that's not going to do it. It's nice. But the Ahava B'Tanugim Kemayim, the Tanlig of the Nefesh Elokis and Devekas Basham, the Nefesh Bahamas gets that. That's the language of Nefesh Bahamas. Nefesh Bahamas says, oh, now we're talking. Tanlig. This I understand. The Zera or Zeruah, the Rebbe says, Shebekdushas Nefesh Elokis. I think we're going to have to do this next time. I know it's the punchline, but it's a little bit involved, so it would be chaval just to say a few words and not to do it properly. So we'll continue with the good words of Zera or Zerua. We'll continue with the Indian of the Vekas Bez Hashem next week.